Welcome back to a Thursday edition of The Drive, and boy, it was nice news to get yesterday as many of us, not just Cubs fans, but, I mean, name your team in terms of dissatisfaction with a lack of moves by insert MLB franchise here. The hot stove has kind of been, I don't know how to put it, well, just not stoving so much this offseason, and yesterday it did. For us Cubs fans, and before we know it, Cubs baseball will be back here on The Fan. Jed Hoyer, Cubs president of baseball operations, swings a trade for Miami Marlins starting pitcher Edward Cabrera, and the headliner returning to the Marlins for that starting pitcher, Edward Cabrera, is a pretty famous to us here in Iowa, Iowa Cubs outfielder Owen Casey, one of the Cubs' top prospects. So to break it all down and perhaps even warm ourselves up a little bit with some baseball talk in January. Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register. He is the Iowa Cubs beat writer at the Register. He joins us now. Tommy, thanks for being here, man. How about that hot stove?
It's about time, man. It's been getting cold throughout the offseason. So we need some hot stove. We needed it bad.
Yeah, we really did. And Cubs fans, as I mentioned, among other fans out there, just longing for more activity or any activity at all from their favorite major league team. And the trade is Owen Casey, a couple other minor leaguers, Christian Hernandez, then a really young teenager, De Leon, his last name. So what do you make of the Cubs making this move? There were all sorts of different paths they could have gone down, Tommy, to add a starting pitcher to their rotation. That was a big takeaway after the Cubs came up short in the playoffs last year. They got to add a guy who can pitch in the playoffs. What do you make of this move?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cubs are banking on potential here, and obviously there's a ton of potential. You've got a guy with a ton of upside and, you know, a really good fastball, swing and miss type stuff, but just hasn't been healthy over the years. And if you look at the analytics, some of his fastball stuff is actually some of the most hittable stuff. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because, you know, obviously the Cubs weren't going to go out and buy, you know, one of the most expensive arms out there. They've always been hesitant to go out there and trade for one of the biggest, players that's available out there. This is kind of some discount hunting, but with the potential to, you know, have tremendous upside. You just don't know what you're getting quite yet. You know you're getting somebody with a ton of potential and a ton of skill set, but you don't know if they're ever going to reach that. And at the very least, it's giving the Cubs some very important depth in the pitching department. You know, I think the biggest question mark for the Cubs is, like, they need to go out and get a number one. They need to go out and get an ace. I don't know if they've quite done that yet. If Cabrera does, you know, pan out to be the type of pitcher he could be, maybe you've got that in him. But at the very least, I think you've gotten some very good pitching depth, which you desperately need.
Let me try and take a swing at a comparison here for Edward Cabrera with what I know about him. And you did a great job detailing his potential and his makeup. But for our Cubs fans out there that could benefit from a comp of some sort, I kind of get some combination of Jake Arrieta, Rich Harden in terms of what the Cubs have acquired here. When the Cubs acquired Rich Harden all those years ago, everybody's like, man, Rich Harden has the stuff. He's got the skill. He just hasn't been durable. He's had injury problems. With Jake Arrieta, it was, this guy's got the stuff. For whatever reason, he just has battled ineffectiveness, be it mechanics, be it who knows what, between the ears. I see this acquisition as some sort of combination there where you knew you were getting talent. It's just, is it going to add up to what it can potentially add up to?
Yeah, I think those are kind of fair comparisons. It's not like you're getting an absolutely bona fide guaranteed number one stopper, but you've got that guy who has that potential. And I think kind of the most important thing is you've added a very important piece to your pitching depth because, like we saw last season and like we've seen with so many teams throughout baseball, it's like you can't have enough starting pitching. And you know, that ended up being, an Achilles heel of the Cubs down the stretch because Cade Horton had developed into kind of a go-to guy down the stretch, but ended up getting hurt and they seem like they were one starting pitcher away from really making a run. Now, this gives them another arm, another option. And look, the starting staff has so much potential there between, you know, what you have with Justin Steele, but you don't know when he's going to come back. Cade Horton, you just don't know, is there going to be some kind of sophomore slump, or is he going to get even better? And then I think the great unknown in the entire staff is Imanaga. So
yeah,
at this rate, you've at least gotten some important depth. Now, is it a 1, 2, or 3, or is it a 4 or 5? We just don't know. The important thing is he's got to stay healthy. He's got to be able to eat some innings, and he's got to be able to take that next step in his development. And if he does, all three of those things, it's a monster trade for the Cubs, who really didn't seem to give up that much to get it.
Yeah, and so Owen Casey, the headliner, could very well be people tuned in who said, hey, I made the trip to Des Moines, or, you know, I'm near Des Moines. I go to Iowa Cubs games, and over the past season and a half, Owen Casey's been one of the dudes that's made me, you know, fork over my hard-earned dollars to go watch the Iowa Cubs. He's a big left-handed bat in the middle of that lineup, and watched him, you know, sock some balls over the wall at Principal Park, and he was on the cusp, right? Like, he got his little cup of coffee this past season, looked okay. Unfortunately, suffered an injury. Rest of the season didn't go the way he wanted to as a result, but. What do you think this says about Owen Casey and what Jed Hoyer in the front office thought of him?
I think it says more about what they have throughout the outfield. You look at that area, and the Cubs have a lot of maneuvering that can be made throughout the outfield. You've got Ian Happ, you've got Pete Crow Armstrong, and then you've got, say, Suzuki, who can go back in right field, and then you could have Moises Ballesteros end up being your DH, and you can kind of rotate through a couple of guys too. And I think, you know, if you're the Cubs and you want to see what you have with Kevin Alcantara too, but you can also go out and add a utility guy, kind of like a Willie Castro type guy, if that doesn't end up panning out. But look, there is no sugarcoating the fact that Owen Casey is one of the biggest prospects in all of baseball, and to me has tremendous upside. But you had to give up something to go out and get an arm that is already contributing at the big league level and has this potential of upside. And having said that, like, man, I think Owen Casey can do some phenomenal things. You know, he's got some of the best exit velo numbers in baseball, and he's had that for a couple of years. People out throughout the organization, people throughout minor league baseball would tell me, if he was in the big leagues, he would have some of the best exit velo numbers throughout any major league lineup right now. And that was like 2 years ago, too.
Wow.
He's a guy that can play the outfield as well. He's got a sneaky good arm. He's got some sneaky speed. And the power is just unbelievable. He will be a guy that if he stays healthy and he's going to get plenty of runway in Miami, that I think has the potential to be a multi year all-star. He's a good building block for the future for them. And unfortunately for the Cubs, they're just, that ended up being a position that I think was, they were able to sell off some pieces when it came to that spot. That doesn't mean it's an easy sell for them. They thought the world of Owen Casey, and they thought, you know, and it looked like he was possibly going into spring training as possibly the guy for the right field job for the Cubs. Now, it's probably going to be Seiya unless they go out and make another trade or sign somebody else. But I know they really like the bat that Ballesteros has, and they think he could be a DH. And that seems like the logical direction that the Cubs are going to go right now.
Okay, so more likely that Moises Ballesteros is at DH, Seiya's in right field, with some sort of new fourth outfielder, be it from the minors or a free agency signing or minor trade, than it is to go sign some big-ticket guy like Cody Bellinger coming back, or maybe you shake something up like a Bo Bichette. More likely the former, Tommy.
Yeah, I think so. Somebody like Bo Bichette probably makes a little bit of sense, or maybe they go out and get somebody like a Bregman, and now you're talking about maneuvering a little bit more throughout the infield. But, you know, I think there are options out there. But I think, like, I do want to see, too, like, are the Cubs satisfied with what they've done when it comes to starting pitching? Or are they going to – my guess is what they'll probably do is wait until around the trade deadline. They'll see what they have, how they've been doing, and stuff like that. Because right now it still seems like you need that go-to guy. There's not one person in that starting rotation that you're like, okay, game one of the World Series tomorrow. Who gets the ball?
Yeah.
Is it Cade Gordon? Is it Shota? Is it J-Mo? Is it Cabrera? You know, could it be Steele? There is nobody there that you're like, okay, we're in the midst of a six-game losing streak. This is our stopper. This is our go-to guy. Who is that going to be? Is it? Could it be that one of those guys ends up emerging as possibly one of those guys? Maybe. But the first half of the season will probably dictate what they end up doing with more starting pitching as well.
Des Moines Register, sports reporter, Iowa Cubs beat writer Tommy Burch, our guest for a couple more minutes here on this Thursday edition of The Drive. And I think, Tommy, just with the World Baseball Classic this year, that we're about a month out, actually, from spring training. There's some earlier reporting for players to spring training as a result of the World Baseball Classic. So just, you know, in a sense, kind of a month away from baseball. And with, you know, that essentially meaning that the offseason will be coming to a close earlier than usual. Am I in a ultra minority, Tommy, when I say that I don't necessarily think that Major League Baseball's offseason is as broken as some analysts or, you know, just people that follow the game suggest? I think the fact, you know, it'd be great if there was more action more frequently. Selfishly as a fan, I would like that. But the thing is that the duration of it, albeit somewhat painful, I guess, at times, it keeps people talking about the Major League Baseball offseason throughout the end of the football season and throughout the start of the NBA season and all of these different other sports that are going on, albeit not to their level, but it keeps Major League Baseball in the conversation for all of these months.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that helps knowing that, like, okay, assigning a trade of whatever could pop up at any time, and I think they do a good job of kind of spreading out some of the other stuff, the GM meetings, the winter meetings, the, you know, I love the Rule 5 draft. I'm a big Rule 5 draft guy.
I like
always love the Rule 5 draft. So spreading out some of those things, but you know, I know one of the big talking points throughout baseball has been possibly trying to limit the free agency window to try to, you know, condense it where it's not spread out so much. But I don't think that's something that's going to change anytime soon. I mean, part of the problem is, you know, it's like people are waiting out so many different contracts and offers because not because of the schedule, but I think because of the fear of what the end of 2026 brings with a possible lockout looming and stuff like that once the CBA comes up. So I think a lot of teams are scared to put out certain offers, not knowing what they're going to be able to spend. I think players are afraid to ink potentially long-term deals, not knowing what's going to be available to them in a season or two as well. So I think, you know, look, in a year or two, it could be a different story. I mean, come next year, like, all the talk is going to be on the labor disputes and if we're going to miss any games or if we're even going to have a season. So I think right now we're just relishing in the idea that that's not the conversation right now, knowing that it is going to be the complete off-season picture a year from now.
Yeah, let's put a bookmark in that one, Tommy. And I think at some point
we can chat about it.
Yeah, well, we had to talk about Edward Cabrera today, and I want to keep the good vibes rolling. So we'll put a bookmark in that one, and we'll rip the Band-Aid off at some point not far from now and have that liable to be labor disagreement conversation. But great stuff, man. Appreciate the insight, and enjoy the rest of the hot stove.
I'll try my best, Cole. You too.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, sports reporter, Iowa Cubs beat writer, kind enough to join us and give us the lowdown on the Cubs trade yesterday for Edward Cabrera. We'll see what's left up Jed Hoyer's sleeve. And
again, as I mentioned, spring training going to start a little earlier in February from what I've read due to the World Baseball Classic. So baseball is going to be here before you know it. Can't wait. All right, let's take this final time out, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Come back for a final time and wrap up the show.